is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This is only a test.
DJ's an MC. This DJ, he gets it out.
Listen to this jockey's introduction to
two DJs in a mic with your host, DJ Mike.
Is that a timetable?
And DJ JP.
Well, get on it. It's your turn.
Give me the mic.
All right, welcome to another edition of Two DJs and One Mic with the infamous DJ JP and myself, DJ Mike.
What's up?
Yes, we're blessed to have someone out of the shy, DJ DeLorean, in the house. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How you doing?
We're doing great, and we want to thank you for coming on with us. It's always an honor, you know, to have someone in the business.
Appreciate you for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Before we get started, let's go ahead and take care of our sponsors.
Oh, yes. Let's take care of, you know, do the work that we've been blessed to do.
Yep. Two DJs and Mike, our platinum sponsor, is Curator Live, the number one photo booth service featuring customization, easy setup, share options, printing, analytics, and cloud-based storage. You can reach the Curator Live by phone at 800-708-0247 and email info@curatorlive.com. Once again, thanks James and his team for sponsoring our show, Curator Live. If you got a photo booth or 360, make sure you get in contact with the team at Curator Live.
Boy, you got a DJ boy. You hear that?
Stop. Yeah, here we go.
Going into the next segment, we got hot 95.
Hot 97.
Wow. You put out the DJ boy.
Come on, man.
So, only thing I needed to hear you say, well, yeah, we got Barry White. Yes.
Let's get into this, man.
All right, first and foremost, so when did you start DJing and what made you want to be a DJ?
So I started DJing about a little bit over 10 years ago, exactly, actually. Actually, I started off in the entertainment industry as a dancer, actually. So I was going and I was basically an interactive dancer at events. And one of the guys that I was working with, he told me, he was like, hey, if you're interested, I think it'd be a good idea for you to get into DJing. I had never even thought about it, honestly. It was just kind of one of those things where it's not that I didn't want to, I just never thought I could do it. And so it just wasn't on my mind. And when he told me that was really the start. And I started doing my research. I started watching YouTube videos. I started watching DJs when I was at parties and kind of just standing behind them and asking questions. And that's kind of how it started. So it was a little bit over 10 years ago.
So who taught you? Who was your mentor? Who did you shadow to stand over their shoulder and watch?
So a few different people. I was working for a company called A to Z Entertainment. The owner of the company's name was Howard Wallach. He was definitely one person that I would ask questions and watch. There was another DJ that worked with us. His name was, his first name was Jerry. His DJ name was DJ Freestyle. He was probably he was the main person that I learned from. And even like to this day, still talk with him. And if there's like issues I'm having, he's just like that guy in terms of like gearhead and knowledge. And then there was one other guy named Ricky that I would watch, and I would just, again, I'm like a sponge, so I would ask a bunch of questions, but I would also just watch and kind of see, you know, just kind of how they handled things and how they looked at the crowd and how they handled the crowd and all those different types of things. So it was definitely a few people, and then obviously YouTube as well is also a great,
but
great teacher.
You had to get in there and practice, right?
Oh yeah. I tell people all the time, like, you know, DJ is not something that you just learn and that's it. Like you got to continue. You keep going. Like I'm still learning stuff now. I'm still, you know, finding out different ways to do things, different ways to mix or different features and things to use. It's you got to stay, you know, a student, I guess, if that's the best way to say it.
Yeah, that's the word. That's the word. Word's the verb. Yep. So you got to always be in there learning and getting better. So as we roll through these questions, what is something that you love about the DJ industry?
About the DJ industry? That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would say for me, it is because I do it like kind of part time. Right. And so for me, it's being in this positive environment. Well, most of the times it's positive, but just being able to be a part of someone's like special day, right? Whether it's a wedding, whether it's a, you know, bar mitzvah, whatever it is, like you are like the main conduit, I guess, of someone's special day, something hopefully that they'll remember for, you know, for a long time. So that's definitely one of my favorite things. I'll definitely, you know, the money is good too, you know, just being honest.
That'd be good.
Yeah. You know, and honestly, I just love music in general. I truly do. And it's what I like to see is how people respond to it. Right. Whether it's something that they song that they really like, or even if it's a song that they don't like, it's always interesting to see like people's different responses to when a song, you know, comes on and or goes off.
When it's working, it's working. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So with those responses that you see from people, does that help you with reading the room? Or do you use that to read the room? And if you're seeing something that's, you know, you see someone that's not pleased with what's being played, do you redirect or you hold that and just force the situation?
So I think it depends. Depends on a few different things. Like if number one, it depends on the type of event. And it also depends on, so if we're talking about, if I see someone that didn't like it, or if there's a couple people that didn't like it, I'm also looking at the majority of the people. So if I have, say, if I have 70% that are into it and they're dancing and they're loving the energy or they're singing or whatever, then for me, I look at that, that was a good song choice. Cause I think the thing is you can't ever please everyone at all times, right?
There's
so many people in the world. We all have different, you know, music that we like, and we all have different music that we want at different times. And even now, like with the new generation, I feel like their definition of dance music is different than like previous generations. You get what I'm saying? And yeah. So, like I said, I try my best to go off of the majority. And if I see that the majority is into it and they're enjoying it, then I feel good. Now, if it's something where I see that, like say people stop dancing or something like that, or I'm not seeing the vibe, then I will get out of it quickly and go to something different.
Okay. So what is something in the DJ industry that you think we could do without?
Something we could do without. I would say the disrespect, I think, from I guess customers, or from clients, I will say, because I think a lot of times
define disrespect for me.
Okay, so I think a lot of times, like clients and even like institutions, like bars and nightclubs, don't respect DJs. And I'll talk about bars just for a quick. Like a lot of bars, at least in this area, I know there was a time probably 7-8 years ago where that was something that I wanted. I wanted to be a bar DJ, a nightclub, you know. And, you know, you realize like they don't pay a lot and they expect you to be marketing for the club and you to be marketing and bringing people in. And then they want to pay you not that much for you to DJ for 6 hours. So now you're getting home at 3 a.m. and, you know, it's just kind of like I always felt like it's not a DJ's job to get people in. It's our job to keep people there. You know what I'm saying? And so like, that's one thing. And then from a client's perspective, when they come and they'll say like, oh, you know, why is a DJ charging that much? Right. Or a DJ shouldn't be charging that much. And I think they don't really realize how much we really do. And I'll say specifically, and sorry if I'm saying too much, but
No. Speak your piece, brother. Speak your piece.
Like for a wedding, people don't realize, you know, a wedding, if you got a wedding from say 5 to midnight or something, that's already 7 hours, but most DJs are there 2 hours before maybe. So now you're talking about that's already a 9 to 10 hour day. But people also don't realize the legwork that happens before. So like with me, like I meet with the couple probably 2 or 3 times, or at least have conversations with them 2 or 3 times before the wedding day in general, right? So like that's also time that's also put into it as well. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, people just don't see that. And then also after the wedding, you know, DJs are there an hour, maybe an hour and a half, breaking down the equipment. Yeah. So that's what I mean by just respect. I think that's something that's always, I guess, rubbed me the wrong way, I guess. But yeah.
So I just want a quick question. How long have you been doing this?
I mean, it's 10 years.
Wow. To be that deep in knowledge and everything. But you're around a couple of great guys. I mean, you work with Howard. So I'm sure he preaches to you about all the different things about respect and all that good stuff. And what all it entails, setting up, warehouse moving, all that stuff. I know he's probably taught you all of that. And then you're right. A lot of people don't respect that. And I wish we could find a way to really reach more club DJs and try to get them to understand and work together and try to form some kind of way to make sure that they, you know, get their money up. So it's just something I want to say. But that's real deep, good knowledge right there for somebody who's been in the game 10 years to drop that right there.
I just want to give a shout out to everybody that's out there listening to us right now. KC, Keith from Canada, Howard, Steph, Ray, and everybody else. Marcus, thank you guys for joining us. If you have any questions or comments, please drop them in. We got one from Steph. He said, clients and DJs misuse the term DJ because setting up and running sound, all the extra stuff is technically production.
True. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. And also, one of the problems that I do think that we have too, whether we like it or not, is this one here too. DJs, you know, just dumping on other DJs.
You know what? Sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, when I was talking, I saw that one pop up on the screen, and yeah. I did want to address it.
Oh, please, go ahead.
Because I think right now we're in this space where there's so many DJs, right? There's just so many DJs, and you know, you have all these apps and all these different types of technology that is making it, I guess, easier for people to at least say that they're DJs. And that is something that we see when people post, like I'll see on social media when you know, a DJ posts a video of them mixing a DJ, it's always a negative comment somewhere, right? No matter if it's any validity to it or whatever, there's some type of negativity. And then the biggest thing that I see is kind of like that generational gap, right? So, you know, older DJs versus younger DJs, in a sense where you have like this vinyl versus you know, digital DJ, right? So I see that conversation all the time. And I think kind of to what you were saying was like, we need to be a collective, you know what I'm saying? If we really want to grow the industry, or I guess grow the craft, but just grow the business side of it.
Yeah.
Like, we gotta be a collective and stop fighting with each other. You know what I mean? And like, come together and try to create something that can continue to build into the future. Because at the end of the day, we gotta be honest, it's a lot of technology coming, you know, and a lot of this.
I didn't want to forget my question. And there's a big comment in here by itself, but what would it take for you to walk away from your job and do it full time? What's stopping you from doing that at the moment?
Ooh, I currently love what I do in my professional job, full-time job. That's honestly what it is. I currently love what I do. And then also, I think the uncertainty of financially being where I am now, by only being an entertainer. You know? So I would say it's a little bit of both. If that.
No, that means that's your honest truth, and I just wonder because I mean I've been at conferences. What is it going to take? $75,000 a year, $100,000 a year. You know, for you to walk away and know that you can make it and still make the same amount of money just doing what you love. But if you love both of them, hey, maybe that's a good thing right there.
Yes. And this is a good one too. Also, professional DJs as a job versus hobby DJs on the weekend, which, you know, sometimes that has an effect and sometimes it doesn't. I think at the end of the day, it still depends on the individual. And the fact of what they're doing it for. Some people are doing it for the love of the craft and it's a business. And some people are doing it, it's just a money grab. It just depends on the individual and why they're doing it that, you know, makes this, you know, this comment has, you know, weight or no weight to it. It depends on the individual. And I think, if I can say this in regards to how Seth is putting it, in my opinion, is when you have the two, that's where a lot of the differences sometimes come about. And you can't get everybody on the same page because for this person, the $400 may be good because they have their own, you know, they have another way of making money. But for this other person, it's like, man, this is my business. I can't do that for $400 and survive.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big one that, you know, it would be good if we could come to common terms on that, but it'll be a hard one to come to common terms on.
Yeah.
And we have from Chad. Okay. What's up, Chad? Hello. First time caller. All right. We appreciate you for jumping on, Chad. So moving right along, what is your favorite genre of music to DJ?
Ooh,
being that you're from Chicago, we got to get this right.
I mean, I want to.
hey, don't let him put you under pressure. Don't let him do you like that.
I'm gonna tell you what I'm thinking because there's a difference of like my favorite genre of music is R&B. That like I love R&B music, but I don't think I can say it's my favorite genre to DJ. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I probably, man, that's tough.
That's why we call it the hot seat.
He wants me to say house music. That's what he wants me to say.
I want you to tell him too.
That's what I feel like he's trying to do. Yeah. I feel like he's trying to press the man to say house.
No. You say country, I'm good with that. I mean, you know.
Hey, you put country over there.
Oh, but I'm saying whatever he says, that's what he wants to do. That's what he likes to
I have my answer, and I think it might shock you. I'm going to say Latin music.
Oh, wow.
Latin music. And good. I'm gonna tell you why. I have a reason.
Okay.
Whenever you are doing a Latin party, though, they have a different appreciation for music to me than any other ethnicities. It doesn't matter, like, if the song is new, if the song is old. It don't matter you know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, like, they going to dance and they're going to have an amazing time.
I have to ask you this question. Do you think that's based on them being so heavy into their traditions?
It could be. It could be. I think.
And the reason why I'm saying that, because I can play certain songs and they can be old as all get out. The kids know how to do the dances. Whether you're playing bachata or merengue, whatever.
Cumbia.
You know, you drop a Selena, they all in there. Coming, it don't matter what age.
It's a, like I said, it's a culture thing, man.
A good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Who was that talking about? They taught him everything he knows.
Tidwell.
Oh. That's Jared. I'm not going to say everything, but he probably, you know. He's up there. He's 80-90%. That's my guy. He DJed my wedding for me too.
Oh, wow. That is your guy.
I'm learning a lot from him.
We're going to let him in the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think, like I said, it's just always this positive energy where you don't see people.
You have a lot of Latin weddings up there? Oh, events?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. My my wife is Mexican, actually, okay. as well.
Uh-oh, and so,
No, we have a lot, and it's definitely, I will say, in the younger generation.
I see your connection now. So you've had to go to a few quinceañeras and a few all-nighters.
Well, I would say this is even before all of that with my wife, though. Like, I've been fortunate enough to actually, so when I was younger, I played soccer. And so I had a lot of Latino friends. Oh, and, yeah. you know, they would always introduce me to music. I'd be in the car with them. Whatever. Oh, man, this sounds good. I didn't know what they were saying, but I'm like, yeah. man, this sounds good. I like this. And just years and years, it kind of just built up my knowledge of it. And that's what you know allowed me to be able to DJ Latin music, and like I said, it's just I love it. It's just like the fun and the positive vibes. Like when you play music, like I said, there's like no judgment really on the songs that you're playing. You know, like it's like everybody's just in it. You can see somebody that's 60 dancing. You can see somebody that's 15 dancing to the same song. Yeah. You don't really see that a lot with
as much, if that makes sense.
Yeah, especially not today, because, you know,
you make a great point.
Yeah. And that was a bit shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a bit shocking, but
I'm just saying that.
I like that because he's right.
Yeah, because they make you appreciate what you're doing, and they're gonna party no matter what. You just keep. Because I tell you'll be doing a wedding, and if it's half and half, man, you put on Spanish, they're gonna dance so hard, and then the other side might get in. But if you put, they're gonna keep coming. We want some more Tijuana. We want some more whatever. Hey, can we get some more cumbia? You know.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Are you familiar with the tribal or the travail music?
I am not.
Okay, so they have what they call, it's called tribal in English, it's travail in Spanish, and they just, and they still do this, but they really march around in a circle on that. That's all they do.
Dance around the circle, march.
Yeah. And it's, I remember one event I did, it was like an hour and a half.
Of circles?
Circles.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a great answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What is this here? September, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I want to dance with somebody, Whitney Houston. Yeah, you're right. Them are some bangers right there.
Yeah, you got some cultural, some older hits that have hit everybody in every culture. But
absolutely.
But they just party different, man, because you can be doing a party and it's like I say, half and half. They gonna out party everybody else and they gonna dance to whatever you play. Even if you go from cumbia to something else, they don't really care. You know, I can't think of the one with the horn. You know, they gonna stay and rock with you no matter what you do. They as long as you playing their music, they're having a good time.
The horns, that's
yeah. So, here's a question for you. What is your greatest accomplishment as a DJ thus far?
My greatest accomplishment?
Or something that you're super proud of that you did, or you got to work with somebody, you got to work with Howard.
Can I say two things? Would that be okay?
Yeah, whatever.
So the first thing, honestly, to me is making it 10 years, you know, like, I know so many people that tried and it didn't go so well and they did, you know, weren't able to do it as long. They didn't really have success with it. And then for me to be here now, still doing it and still feel like I'm ascending, honestly, like that's like a great feeling for me. I actually had me and my close friends and my family, I actually had like a 10-year anniversary DJ party. And because I was just like, man, like I really, it was the first time I really sat and reflected on my career as a DJ. And I'm like, man, like I've done some cool stuff. I've made some money. I've had some really cool experiences, you know. So that would be my first. And then My second was I actually DJed in Vegas for a conference at Point. I entered this competition and I was one of the DJs that got picked. So I was able to do a set with a whole bunch of other DJs at a DJ slash entertainment conference. And so just like that, that experience of like DJing in Vegas. And
what conference was that?
That was the, it wasn't Mobile Beat. It was, what's it called?
Max?
Say it again?
Mobile Entertainment Expo? Or was it something
yes.
else?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What year was that? This was 2 or 3 years ago.
I went the first year they had it. I didn't go the next year, so that's why I miss you, because I normally know everybody that get up there on that stage.
Yeah, so that was just an amazing, it was just a fun experience.
Yeah,
to just, you
it's
know,
super cool. About. Yeah, because you're DJing in front of another 500 DJs and everybody got they like this. He missed that one. That was a little late. He overlapping. I just feel like I got slapped because the beats clap, you know, so everybody out there in the audience is, oh man, you know, they all judging you and just coming in hard. So were you on with Shani or were you in the... Mm-hmm. It was with Shani. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yep. On Shani on the last night, the final party. That's cool, man. Yep. I've had that on my list too, the DJ at but I want to do it in the club out there in Vegas. So that's a
little
then on the stage everybody. Because some of them clubs are over the top, man. I don't know if you ever been in any, but they are. Whew, those are clubs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow, so that's cool. That's good. 10 years, man. Everybody should celebrate. Everybody, as a matter of fact, everybody in here chime in and put in how many years you've been in the game and how many years you're proud of. What anniversary are you celebrating this year? What are you celebrating?
Yeah, maybe 38.
We don't have a what's the thing?
Yeah, I think 38.
38. Wow, you're old, man.
Yeah, maybe 38.
So. Okay. Yeah, so
moving right along. You know, we're gonna look at this.
Okay, we gotta check this out.
Yeah, we want to check this out.
All of the nights we. All right. Yeah. Pop it up there, Mike. Pop it up there.
So.
We got a phone call early this morning.
Yes, we got a phone call up
early this morning. I did. I couldn't even get out of bed. As soon as Mike dropped your thing, I got this phone call right here. Soon as he put the advertisement out, Howard called me. Y'all, how did y'all find him? I was like, Mike. You don't have the Rolodex on lock, brother. People are on the gram, they're on TikTok. You don't have everybody just locked into A to the Z Entertainment where they can't talk to other people. We know you feel like you got Chicago on lock, but you don't. But nah, he had me laughing. He said, man, he loves Usher, man. He does this, he does that, and he does his dancing on TikTok and all that stuff. And he says he follows Usher. He probably knows, you know. Talk to us about Usher, man. Come on.
Man. The first piece of music I ever owned was the Usher My Way cassette tape. Okay. That was the first piece of music. What'd you say?
So is Usher responsible for you getting into dancing?
Absolutely. Usher and Michael. 100%. Usher and Michael. Yeah, and so, you know, just watching their videos, obviously growing up and stuff, and that's just, you know, you start imitating and want to do stuff, and that's just what it is, and specifically with Usher, just, I love his music, and just continue to follow his career, and, you know, I've seen him in concert a bunch of times, and I'm just a huge fan. He's been a huge inspiration for me as a dancer. And I would even say, like, as an entertainer in general.
What is it about him in his career that had really that made you gravitate toward? What is it about him?
I would say his It's in terms of specifically as a dancer, like man, his smoothness, like he, you know, whenever he dances, it's like almost effortless, you know, like it's, he just have this, has this smooth, smooth aspect to him. And then even as an entertainer, like I love that he always, he doesn't take the easy way out. Like, I don't know if y'all saw his Super Bowl. But like most people are lip singing when they're doing a Super Bowl, or most people are using pre-recorded tracks. He did it, you know, like he was singing, you know, and fully live, no effects, no auto tune, none of that different type of stuff, while dancing, doing full out choreography. And then he did it on roller skates.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. He pushes the envelope and he does things that I feel like a lot of people wouldn't even try to do. I feel like he truly respects the craft of being a true all around entertainer. So, yeah.
Two questions. Mm-hmm. Number one, did you make the pilgrimage to Vegas to see him in Vegas?
I did.
I did. Number two, how close were you on the set list?
For me guessing the set list?
Yeah.
Let me see. There was,
I know you got the last song right, because I mean everybody knew he was going to do Yeah Last, but what was how many of them did you get, the first one or any of them in any order? Did you hit any of them?
I got most of them, but there was a couple songs that that I thought he was going to do that he didn't do, and there was one song that I didn't think he was going to do that he did do. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty close, and I put it this way, I had the first three right. I had the first three completely right in order, everything, and then I had the last one correct. So, yeah.
I don't know what made you think that first song he started with was going to be the lead song. I thought he would have started with something different.
Well, so are you talking about? So I knew that.
I'm talking about Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. So he started with "Caught Up" was the first full song, and because I followed his career and I've seen him so much, he usually starts with that song.
He didn't start Vegas with that though, I don't think.
No.
Because I made the pilgrimage too. I'm guilty too. So we were out there for Mex and he just happened to be in town. So me and my wife went and sold some cans and picked up some other stuff. And we were able to afford to go to see. Oh my God, man!
Them tickets
were interesting, brother. But hey, it was worth every penny, especially the big girl on the pole. he know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that was something.
Great show, man. It was really good, but. Yeah, he had a big girl. You like, where's she going, man? Okay. Man, he brought Atlanta to Vegas, man. He had three stripper poles, about five strippers. Was it money flying out the air and stuff too, man?
Everything. Everything.
Great show, man. He gives you a full, just a full Vegas show. It was, he had about three sets, three or four different sets he did with the roller skates. The poles and other stuff. So, and he had a really cool round stage, and it's just a lot of stuff. But it was really worth. It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely a full experience.
So I kind of took over the show. So go back to your foot. I know I'm guilty. I'm always doing that. Let me sit in my chair and be quiet. Go ahead, Mike. Maybe I got a man crush on Usher too.
Well, you also said. Michael Jackson was inspiration to you too. So what was it about Michael that inspired you?
I mean, he's the greatest. I mean, you know, like I feel like everyone learned from him, you know, whether it's just, you could be dance specifically, it could be just entertainment. It's like he was different. You know, we have, you know, these big artists now and people always say, oh, they're the next Michael or they're this and this. There's just no one like Michael Jackson. Like, you know, you watch the old concert films, you see people passing out and all these different type of things. And, you know,
my sister passed out.
He's the standard.
Oh my goodness, stop, boy. That's funny.
He is the standard when it comes to entertainment. And you know, he's very inspirational and so influential in so many, like how many people, and again, I wasn't alive during that time, but like how many people, and you know, y'all were there, how many people were trying to learn the Thriller dance and the Beat It dance?
Oh, come on, man. Everybody, they're still trying to learn it today.
Exactly.
Thriller,
exactly.
Yeah.
Billie Jean,
anything.
All of them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that he did. Yeah.
Mike was a great question, though. So where do you rank Chris Brown in there then?
In terms of what?
Dancing. And, you know, do you think he's in there with Usher, and or you got him a rung of two lower?
When it comes to dancing specifically, I'm not talking about performing. If I'm talking dancing, Chris Brown is probably the best dancer I've ever seen. Just dancing. Now, when it comes to live performing, that's different. He's not in that class of them, in my opinion. You know what I mean? I'm a big Chris Brown fan. I've seen him a good amount of times, but he to me isn't that great of a singer live, and he uses a bunch of effects and auto tune and stuff like that. And so, and even his shows, he doesn't give that full out kind of experience. And kind of like you were talking about, it's just kind of let's go all go on stage and we're gonna have this great time and dance and energy and all this. But he doesn't really give you the whole rounded experience. And so, like I said, dancer wise, I never seen nobody like him. But live performer wise, I have a different opinion.
That's why Usher gets it, because he can do all of that and still.
Well, he's telling you a story.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
You know, and but he's no, smooth. I mean,
that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's nothing wrong with that. But don't y'all forget about the great James Brown.
Oh, yeah, well, he might be a little bit.
Don't forget, because he still, you know, he had some moves that was, he had his own style, not only in singing,
yeah,
but mm-hmm. dancing as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's who Michael learned from.
Who else is
I said that's who inspired Michael, you know?
Yeah. Of course.
So who else is on your list that you like or you think is a great performer?
Well, I would have said James Brown. I would say Prince. I would say
you good now. You can stop. That's one of our favorites. The old man.
Purple one.
Yeah, Prince for sure. I would say, you know, Beyonce. I would say not necessarily as a great singer necessarily, but like Bobby Brown's energy was unmatched. He to me is very similar to Chris Brown. It's like they just had this level of energy that was just like unlike anybody. I would say, let me see, who else? You know who I actually love as an entertainer who doesn't dance, but I love seeing him perform actually is Teddy Riley. I'm a big Teddy Riley fan. And I just love the way that he, because obviously, you know, he produced and wrote all these hits. And I love that when he performs, how he incorporates them all, and he's doing these shows, and he's got the talk box and, you know, all this stuff, and he's doing it live. He's playing live. I really enjoy seeing him perform. Not saying that he's like one of the greatest, but I'm just saying that's for me personally.
Yeah, I mean, there's some people that you just like to see because they put on a great show. I mean, this might be out of your realm, but I'm going to tell you somebody else you need to check out, even if you have to watch a video, Charlie Wilson.
I was about to say Charlie Wilson next.
Yeah, man, he puts on a great show.
Amazing, even in his age now. Amazing.
Yeah, he's almost 70 something.
Yeah, he's
great.
He's amazing. He's literally, I promise you, I was about to say him next. I've seen him 3 times and just, I love the Gap Band. And so just the feeling of the music. And he just still sounds amazing. Like he still sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Those are some of the funnest. Like I had some of the best times at the times when I've been able to see him. Like I love seeing him live. And I like I said, I love the music.
Yeah.
So I'll let you have this one, Jeff.
Okay.
Just segue right into it.
So we were watching a few TikTok, little Instagram things. Did you write and produce your own album?
I did. I've always been interested in like music production, but I never honestly just never took the time to do it, to get into it. And then when the pandemic hit, we had a lot of time.
Yeah,
and
a lot of time.
Yeah. So I got into it and, you know, obviously, like I said, watching YouTube, watching different videos and just playing around. And I got into it and, you know, I had released some songs or whatever. And then after that, my personal goal became to put out my own album one day. And so it took me some years, but I was finally able to put it out actually just in December a few months ago. And so I wrote. So the one thing I don't do vocals or anything. So I don't rap or sing or anything. And so I typically will work with people that I've either met online or even hired people to do the vocals. But yes, I wrote every single song on there except one because that one's in Spanish. But I produced every song on there as well too.
What's the name of the album?
It's called 1605. And the reason I named it 1605 is that those were the first four numbers of the address of the home that I grew up in.
Oh, okay. Wow. So everything ties back to something.
1605.
Well, that's cool, man. We were, like you said, we were watching some of the reels and different things. I'm like, this brother didn't produce the album. Tell me, this is why I wrote this song. This is why I wrote this song. I said, look at it. Hey, man, but I always wanted to produce, but I never was able to get to that point or do remixes. I think that's so cool because, I mean, you hear some of the dopest remixes, but now we can do it with stems and different things. We can do a whole bunch of different stuff, but that's something I always wanted to do. So
you're gonna sing?
No. I wanted to do remixes like
that. No, you said you wanted an album. So you wanted an album remixes?
No, sir. I didn't say nothing about that. I said I wanted to produce.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to do remixes. I ain't say I'm like him. I don't sing. I don't rap. All I want to do is... I want to be like Dr. Dre, though, just twisting the knob. Give me more drums here. Give me this. You know, give me some hi-hat or cowbell. More cowbell.
And see, remixes is something.
Turn my headphones up. Take that. Or I could be like, what's his name? What's that one line he got? Mouse. God, what does he say? You know, everybody got something the producer's saying in the front of their tracks these days. Or Cali. It's another one.
Yeah.
Did you do anything on the album? Did you speak or talk or anything?
You didn't pull there, a ditty, did you?
What'd you say? I'm sorry?
You didn't pull a ditty, did you?
No. So the there was one song that I actually did. So I basically made a Chicago juke song. And so it was a track that really only had a couple words. And so those actually were my vocals, just very, very affected and filtered out. So you wouldn't be able to tell it was me. But that was it. Like I said, I don't have an interest to rap or sing. That's just not me. But I really do enjoy, you know, making the music, but also writing songs as well. So, yeah.
Okay, that's really cool, man.
No, it is.
Yeah, because I was like shocked. I'm like, wait a minute, did he just say he did his own album? I was like, that's really cool. A lot of people want to produce and different things, but, you know, none of us take the time to really sit down and try to learn and actually do it.
And that's a whole nother skill set.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, because I think this is very important. From getting into the production side of it, or the producing and making music, how has that helped you as a DJ?
How has it helped me as a DJ?
Or has it helped you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you definitely understand music better, like how just how it's made and just the sounds and things like that. But if I'm being completely honest, it hasn't really, I don't know if it's necessarily helped me DJ better, but it definitely makes me pay attention to music more. And like I said, just the makeup of it and how it's made and things like that. But in terms of DJing that aspect, I can't really think of a way that I've transferred that. Cause like you said, if you were doing remixes, I think then it's more closely related, you know? Mm-hmm. But the production side is just, creativity and kind of seeing what you like and sounds like that. But for me personally, I only do it for fun, honestly. The production side and making music, that's just something I truly do for fun. Like, I don't make any money. I'm not trying to do anything like that. I really honestly do it for fun because I truly, truly do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And I was just, when I was thinking about that, I would say in some of the areas with timing and just being able to hear certain things,
yeah.
You know, those would be the areas where I would think that it will help. I know for me, when I was younger playing in the band and playing drums, it really helped my timing and just being able to hear certain things.
I would say it's the opposite, actually. I would say DJing helped me, and obviously because I've been DJing for
That
helps you more, I would say, on that side.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I like that. So, what is a gem or something that you would leave us with, you know, that you would like to share?
Man, I would say if I'm speaking DJ specific, always be a student, you know, always be a sponge and want to learn more and be willing and open to learn more. And I guess that goes for any industry that you're in. You know, that's kind of how you're going to get better, you know, and kind of elevate yourself. And then if I'm talking to leave a gym just from a personal level, for me, I'm a very positive person, and I always believe in being grateful for the things that I have and the life that I have and the people that I have in my life. We're all going to go through things. We're all going to have tough times. But, you know, being grateful for the things that we have always makes those times easier for me, I would say.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
How can they find you, man? What can everybody follow you? TikTok, your dancing, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram or TikTok. It's at DJ Dre Lauren. I also have a website as well. This is DreLaurenBeats.com. But yeah, follow me, connect with me, engage with me. I appreciate it.
What can they get the album?
The album is available on all streaming platforms. So wherever you listen to music, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, Tidal, it's on there. DJ Dre Lauren.
1605, people.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. And man, I got to check out the album.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely got to check out the album. I will do that. But man, it's always an honor just to converse with people in the industry, as well as people outside the industry, because you never know what their story is.
Yeah, we learn so much. I'll just say a bright young mind in the industry, a shining star. Very. Because I did a survey, and like 50% of the people were over 50 that are DJing right now. And from this survey of 300 DJs. So we're gonna be gone soon. So hopefully we leave it in good hands to guys like you. So it's,
I ain't going nowhere.
That's what you say. but there's two things. Yeah, birth and death. It's coming. I don't know if you got yours on layaway or something, but it's coming. So we don't know the hour nor the day, but trust me, it's coming.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I would love to ask you guys a question if you don't mind.
Please.
You know, so with you guys, I know you've been DJing for a long time. How have you guys, I guess, transitioned, you know, with all the new music has come out? Because I'll speaking for myself, like, I'm not that old. I'm 30, right? But I don't listen to a lot of the newer music, especially like hip hop. Like, I don't listen to it. And so, like, I have to do my research and things such as that about, like, so when I go out and I do these proms and stuff, I'm sitting right. So for y'all that have been DJing for much longer than I have and, you know, are older than I am, how have you guys handled the transition of the newer music that has come out?
Michael, I'll let you answer that first.
I have to answer that in my own way. I'm not a fan of a lot of it, but when it comes to playing music for people at events is not about me. So I make myself available to get the newer music, and I learn an appreciation for it. I'm not a fan, but I have an appreciation for it because at the end of the day, I love music. Mm-hmm. Music has always been in my life since I can remember. I love music. So the one thing that has helped me, I would say, to be more direct in answering your question,
mm-hmm.
I'm good at adapting to change.
Okay.
So I don't have a problem with adapting. So the newer music requires you to adapt.
And how do you stay updated with the new music and stay in tune with what works and what's old now to this new generation, right? Or what is, a good, you know what I mean? Like, how do you stay updated with the music?
Well, DJ Pools for me.
DJ Pools.
But when I look at
what's hot today is cold tomorrow. You'll do a school today, and tomorrow they got a whole new list. So I just let the kids educate me, ask for lists, and some stuff I fall in love with. I love this song, so you got to believe it's going to be in the rotation. But it's funny, out here, we DJ for so many different genres and different weddings and different things, and they give you so many lists.
Yeah, it's always different.
Yeah, so people will educate you on what they want. Sometimes it's hard to find them because you don't know if they Megan Thee Stallion, if they this, if they that. Yeah. So I'm with you. It's tough, man, and you just have to let the crowd educate you because you can get everything you want. Because my brother was telling me about, he did a prom, he's like, Jeff, I don't even know what half I played. It's the tug or whatever, Big X, the tug, the pug or whatever. He's like, I ain't never heard of that. But I had to download it and play it. And he said he played that Yay Glow like four times. So, I mean, it's some of it's hot garbage. But, you just have to learn. Like Mike said, it's not about us. We're doing it for them. And that's what we do. Our job is, and he's right, Kevin, old 70-year-old up there. He said
ask your kids or someone.
You just gotta ask the kids, man.
But the good thing, if we're doing our, if we're doing our investigation or investigating, because like yourself, one thing that I do to really help myself, I ask for lists. On my website, I send them a link, so I can find out what they like. And from there, I fill in the blanks. I fill in the blanks. So for me, we get paid to learn what people like.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying us to educate us. They're educating us and paying us, however you want to put it.
So how do you handle it, or what do you do? We're going to throw it back on you.
Yeah, so I don't struggle too much with it right now, being honest, but I do kind of worry about 5 to 7 years from now, you know what I'm saying, as I'm getting older and all the different things.
Yeah, he worried about me.
37.
But also the reason is because music is moving so fast now. So kind of like what you were saying was like, it's like, man, you can play a song now. And a couple months later, it's like, oh, that's old. That's, you can't play that. So music moves so much.
Couple days.
So it moves so fast now.
I mean, they may last a week. I don't think maybe a week or 2 weeks, because you could definitely probably do a school 1 week, go back the next week. They on to a whole nother world. But
I have something that's very debatable, but I don't think it is.
What?
Good music never dies. And
so what are you saying? It's not good music?
No, hear me out. A lot of the music before, before your time and during your time, those classic songs are still living and thriving. We were just talking the other day about, you got young kids that are listening to songs from the 80s and the 70s and some 60s. So It's a lot of music that will not die. Now, I will say some of the newer music, it dies and it dies hard, quick. you can never play it again.
Mm-hmm. But a good example is Usher. We knew every song Usher song because it hasn't died. It's all still good to us, and we still can sing it.
Yeah,
and it's all still good.
A lot of us still caught up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think a part of it is the newer generation and how they consume music. So like we all grew up where, you know, we didn't have music anytime and everything all at once. Like we had to wait for it to come out. We had to then go to the store and buy it if we wanted it. And that's the only thing that we had. Whereas they don't have to do that. Well, I guess now all of us now, like, music comes out and it's just out. We can listen to whatever we want to listen to. Whenever we want to listen to it,
drop their whole album on YouTube.
Yeah. You can go to the store back then and, hey, Usher is sold out. You got to try to run to another store. Sold out over there. You got to go to another store.
We're really going to date ourselves because how we would get music sometimes is to record it on the radio and hope the announcer didn't talk in the song so we could use it for other things. Times have really changed, man. And just think, kids, TikTok, they have TikTok top 100 playlists. Because I mean, so many songs on TikTok. So it's really different. And it's hard to keep up, but you have to do your best to keep up and stay current and at least be, you know, and have a way to get it if you don't have it when you do stuff for the younger generation. But doing all the bar mitzvah, y'all should be up, right? Are y'all using up?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, I definitely stay current. It's not a struggle for me. But again, like I said, for me, because here's the thing, I think there's a difference of having the music versus knowing the music. Right. So like, for example,
big difference.
If I go to like Latin music, I don't know if y'all DJ a lot of like, say, Latin parties or whatever, even if I'll even use something different. If I say like a Polish party, I can give y'all a whole crate of Polish music, right? I could say, hey, these are Polish bangers. These are Polish hits, right? But y'all don't know it. So you don't know like, oh, maybe I should start with this one, or I should end with this one. Or maybe, you get what I mean? Like, there's a difference of having the music, but knowing how to use it and knowing which ones to place in certain different types of ways. You know what I mean? And so I think with a lot of the newer music, you kind of see that. Like I said, I'll go on TikTok and I'll see what's trending, you know, things like that. I might see things on Twitter about certain artists or certain songs that are trending. I'll look at the charts and see what's charting and getting streams and all that different type of stuff. But like I said, my worry is more so more down the road when I know I'm even more farther removed from the music, because I don't like a lot of the newer music either.
Think about that. We're way down the road, brother. We're way down the road. I mean,
that's why I asked.
We're 45s down the road. We're 78s down the road. You can play. We had records you can play on 78, and you probably don't even know what that is, do you?
I know what it is. I got some actually.
45, 78. Yeah. So yeah, the road is, I mean, it's a curve now. It ain't even. We can't even see back there so far. But yeah, I understand. Yeah. And we feel the same way. But what you have to do is, like Mike said, the classics won't die. The songs like Biggie won't die. What's the real? Some of the Beyonce stuff won't die, like Crazy in Love. Love on Top won't die. I'm trying to think of a rap hit now that probably won't die. You know, like Wipe Me Down. That may never die. You know, stuff like that is going to always be there for classics for everybody, because everybody's going to get in the club and sing stuff that they know. You know, you can play Bobby Brown stuff now. It's hidden. Like he said, Earth, Wind & Fire, Whitney. Some of that stuff is just not going to die. So some of these mumble rap songs are going to be there. And some of this other stuff going to be there for us to use. When me and Mike strolling up to the booth, hello, Sunday. <Nah.
laughs> You'll be on your own.
Can you scoot over? Man, I saw three DJs. It was a cartoon. There were three DJs. They were old. One of them was blind, had a thing, and something else, and they were walking. The guy said, where y'all going? We're going to the club to DJ. So, hey, it's just, some of it's going to die. Some of it's going to stick around. You just have to, you'll know the ones that are turning to classics.
Well, Well, the process, I think, remains the same. You just got to do your homework.
Yeah, always.
You know, and know where to look, you know, and that helps. I take the opportunity sometimes to just look through the curated playlist that they have, along with looking at the radio station, seeing what they have and seeing who's active.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna lie to you. Sometimes I look at those curated lists and I just grab everything and dump it in a folder. And a lot of it is about the beat, and some of it is about the rhyme, the lyrics and the beat. So beats are in my head. So I can, you know, I know a banger when I hear one. And sometimes with the music changing so much, you don't have time to get in there and just get a lot of reps. You know,
yep.
Sometimes you get reps in other areas and you just ready, you know, and I'm just going to fire it up and we're going to roll. But if you have your list, what clients have provided you with, you know, it helps you to get along.
Yeah, yeah.
It helps you to get through.
So yeah, that's why I try to get them to educate me on what they like. And then sometimes they can miss because that's what they like and don't nobody else in the whole school like what they like. But
yeah,
so that's why we have systems in place where we give everybody a code to put in 3 to 5 songs, and you try to learn as much as you can. Then they still lose you because you're like, I don't know. But man, we're gonna say we appreciate your time. We're gonna be respectful. Go ahead. Excuse me.
No, you're all right. I'm not trying to, but we had a question. I thought that was you took it away.
Oh, my bad. Okay, that's the question.
Yeah, which I think is very interesting. Do you have a favorite transition you've come up with?
In terms of like two songs?
That's kind of, is it an echo fade?
Are you referring to two songs or just a way of transitioning out of songs?
I'm going to assume maybe they mean like certain songs that I like to mix together that I feel like go well. That's tough because let me see. I'm trying to think. I'll say This Is How We Do It and 24 Karat Magic by Bruno.
Okay.
I like how that mixes. And I also, just because too, it gives 24 Karat Magic is one of those songs that I think is a classic, first of all, since we were just talking about it. But also, it hits multiple generations. So if I've just played, say, This Is How We Do It.
Yeah, you were right. You said your two favorite songs to mix together.
Okay. Well, those aren't my two favorite songs, but I'll say those are two that I do like mixing together just because of, like I said, This Is How We Do It is kind of like for one generation, but then 24 Karat Magic, it keeps that same vibe, and it hits all generations. You know what I mean? Everyone, even if you don't know the song, it just has this dancey beat, and you just feel it. It's very soulful.
Yeah, but wouldn't This How We Do It hit more generations?
No.
Yeah, no. It's in the old folks. And
but that's debatable, yeah, because a lot
you're
of
right.
People,
I'm sorry. I'll
a
take
lot
that
of
back.
People like 24K, and it's not just younger people. It's a lot of the older people.
It crosses over.
Because it has that
it's
old
on,
sound.
It's on the other side. All right, I got it. Mm-hmm. All right, good. My
yeah.
bad.
Yeah.
Hey, no, you're good.
Yeah. So, those are the first two that I thought of that I have done multiple times. So I don't know if I have two favorite songs to mix together, but those are the first two that I thought of.
The next two you play.
So
the next two songs you play. I don't really have. I don't think I have two favorite songs mixed together because I always try to do differently, so it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Trying to think of something that I like to play that I wouldn't mind playing multiple times.
I'll put it like this. Anything with Bag It Up, Bag Your Thing Up is one of my favorites. Chopper Style. I mean, all of them coming in on that song is just that's the national anthem down south anyway. So it's all good. But man, we're gonna be respectful. We 4 minutes over your time, and we just really thank you for coming on. And come out to Marquee, man. If you don't do nothing, but come out to one of the parties or something.
I'm out of town, so I'm not gonna be able to. But I do hope it goes well, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, it will.
Well, what about the 29th or 30th of the month? Maybe you can come have breakfast with us on the 30th.
You know what? Hopefully we can make something like that work. Let's connect, because I do have a lot of things coming up, not even just like DJ wise, just like some family stuff, you know, coming up too.
Understand, but I mean, it's cool. We've got to know a lot of DJs in Chicago now. Lance, Lee Romeo, just his whole crew, Howard, a whole bunch of you guys up there. So yeah, we have to see. We just try to break bread one time when we up there.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen.
Well, brother, we thank you for joining us on the show. Mike, give us our theme song, sir. Let's go home.
All right. We'll see y'all guys next time. Thank you.